Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the worship of God at Wallingford Presbyterian Church. We're really glad that you're here. As you can tell from the chancel, we've got an edited version of what was up that filled the chancel for this past week during our vacation Bible camp, and you'll hear a little bit more about that. We're also going to show some slides and a video of goings-on that took place in the sanctuary. I just want to thank Pastor Taylor and the Christian Education Council and the many volunteers and our teenagers, our youth group who came to help to open the doors to 27 children from our community to participate in the camp. And you know, there's a whole lot that goes into doing this and making it possible, and a lot of folks who worked behind the scenes. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you. This is the last Sunday that John will be playing for us. Liz is back the following Sunday. And our guest soloist is behind the screen, so you can't see her, but we appreciate you sharing your gifts with us. And Karina just reminded me that she actually was here and sang in the Amal and the Night Visitors when we had that performance a couple of years back. So she's no stranger to us, and I know that you will make her feel welcome. I think that's all I've got, except to remind you to sign the Black Friendship Pew Pads, which you'll find towards the center aisle of each pew, and to share those with others sitting in your pew. My friends, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Just a few moments to share the peace, the grace, and the love that we have received in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for the exuberance and excitement of children as they filled this sanctuary and this church this past week to learn a little bit about what we have come to know and love, and that is the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, his love for us, made manifest in so many different ways. And that's part of the reason why we're here today, because we know that love and that grace, or we seek it even more. So be with us as your people, as we sing, as we pray, as we sit in silence with one another, as we continue to walk the journey of discipleship, sharing our joys, sharing our concerns, sharing the journey with one another. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the people on the right, to the right and to the left of us, in front of us and behind us, for these are friends in the faith. Send your Holy Spirit to be among us, inspire us, enliven us, and help us worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please join me with the call of confession. Call to worship. I'm sorry. I had that on my brain, I think. On the Sabbath, God invites us to come away and rest a while. We gather to be with God and with one another. The love of God gives us our place. The love of God gives us our peace. The love of God refreshes and renews. Let us worship God.
Here in this place where the light is streaming, now is the heart Friends, you may be seated. And now would normally be the time where I would invite up all the children for a time with young disciples, and I would kind of lead the children in a message. But today, we're going to be having the children lead us all in a message. In a sense, we've taught and learned all these different songs. I will see them in a moment. But we'll hear one song from our VBS campers this week. And so our VBS was the theme of shipwrecked, in which every day throughout the week we learned different ways that God is with us and Jesus rescues from our shipwreck of life. And so we had a really great time. The excitement was really there, and the kids just had a great time, and so did, I think, our leaders as well. So I'd like to invite up any campers who were here this past week, as well as any shepherds, teachers, or helpers at all, and we're going to be singing one of our favorite songs from the week called Won't Worry About a Thing, and we can sing as we watch the video as well.
Hey, Pete, would you turn off the just the one, yeah, the very top one. Perfect. All right, so you're gonna have to move down so you're not in the light itself. All right, we ready?
Thank you, everyone, for coming up and showing a little taste of VBC. We'll be showing a few pictures later in the service, but for now, that was a little taste of our music. And now I would like to... invite everyone to sit back down, and we will now have our musical offering from John.
sisters and brothers, even our best intentions go awry when we are not at one with God's purpose. Our gracious God journeys with us and provides for us with unending mercy, patience, and kindness, so that when we repent, we find ourselves forgiven. Let us confess our sin, confident in God's love for us. I invite you now into an extended period of silence. As we confess, let us also listen for the voice of God speaking to us. Loving God, forgive us, heal us, and lead us down gentle paths that restore our souls. Amen. Friends, in Christ, through the love of God in Jesus Christ, we have been restored to the grace of God. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. People of God, body of Christ, sisters and brothers, what shall we do in response to God's forgiveness? As God's own people, we will be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind, always ready to forgive as freely as God has forgiven us, and above everything else, we will be loving and never forget, thankful for what Christ has done for us. Amen. You may be seated.
And I'd like to dismiss all the children to go to Sunday school now.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come dwell with us and in us, that as we read and listen to God's word, we might be blessed with understanding. Amen. A reading from 2 Samuel. I invite you to listen for the word of God. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal-Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Abinadab and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Abinadab to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people. The whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Oh,
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. Hear now the word of the Lord. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead. That is why these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. He had married her. For John said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and kept him safe. When he heard him, he was much perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will grant it." But he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptizer." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard and gave orders to bring his head. He went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray.
Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, you regular attendees know that I tend to preach the lectionary, which is a three-year set of readings that walk us through all of Scripture. But last week, I strayed from that and preached a little bit on something that you all had asked me to do, which was to talk about the separation of church and state, and which I did. I hope I did, and at least got you thinking about some things. But I closed, if you were here last week, by saying that in the midst of everything we do as disciples of Jesus Christ, we always do so with a sense of joy in our hearts, because we have been gifted with the grace and the love and the peace we find in Jesus Christ. Last week, the lectionary passage were the two readings that you heard this morning, one from Samuel and one from the Gospel of Mark. I told Taylor she might have a hard time getting a children's sermon out of David dancing naked before the ark and John the Baptist being beheaded, but I think you made a wise decision. So I'm reminded of a quote by Friedrich Nietzsche, which is completely out of context, but I'm going to use it anyways, which you should really hit me on in light of what I said last week about exegesis and eisegesis. Anyways, he wrote, "Without music, life would be a mistake. I would only believe in a God who knew how to dance." So the passages today are about dancing. They're about the different ways that we as human beings use that gift
You know that I dabble at times at free verse, and I wrote this a number of years ago after going to a dance performance, simply called The Dancers. They speak with their bodies, hands and feet, vowels, consonances. Their limbs form sentences, together paragraphs. They dance, they're moving, the telling of a story, the singing of a song. As I think about the sermons that I try to write, I know that some of them tend to be a little more didactic, maybe one could even say scholarly. The ones that I like the most personally are when I'm able to tell you stories. So in some ways, this sermon is a little more about storytelling. A number of years ago, Cindy and I took a wonderful road trip. We got in the car, we packed literally an overnight bag, and we had no destination. We simply got in the car and started driving. And we said, wherever we stop, wherever it looks interesting, whether it's in a mile or whether it's in 15 miles or whether it's 100 miles, we'll stop there and we'll just enjoy being in that place. So we did. We wound up stopping in the southeastern Ontario on a lake in Canada, and we stopped for dinner in this little restaurant on a lake. We were seated by a window at sunset, and as the sun was setting, swallows were swooping down around a light, which obviously had attracted a lot of insects. So I wrote this. What brings the swallows here, I wonder? The insects, attracted by the light bulb overhead, a new hatch on the bay? I don't know for sure, but I rather like to think it is the dance, their need to dance, the wanting to. They circle, wings outstretched, then quickly tucked, they fall fearless, listening to an inner voice fly toward the light, only to spread their wings once more and rise again, passing one another, feathers barely touching, brushing, teasing, inviting each to dance. They fall apart again, spent lovers. Fly, fly, beautiful bird, dance, dance, and with your dance teach me to dance, to soar, to stretch my wings with radical abandonment. Then quickly tucked, to fall into my life in love, in light, fearless, free, of all that keeps me from myself and from you, good creator, so that some who may see may wonder too, what is it attracts him so to life, to God? I trust they'll know it is the dance. I think this is the kind of dancing David did. David enters the gates of the city triumphantly, full of the zest and abandonment that are the spoils of victory. He brings with him his prize, the prize he will share with all the people, a godly prize. Who would not dance on such a day as this? I can hear the people shout as he passes by, Emmanuel, God with us. The Ark of the Covenant is among the people who love God, who obey God, who worship God. And David dances in joy, divine joy, and his dance leads to life, life abundant, a godly life. For those who know the rest of his story, a godly life with interruptions. Costly, those interruptions, for there is a price to pay. I'm going to share with you what Frederick Buechner wrote about David. To see what there was about David that made Israel adore him like no other king it ever had, as good a place to look as any is the account of how he captured Jerusalem and brought in the ark. Jerusalem was a major plum for the new young king, a hill town considered so untakeable that the inhabitants had a saying to the effect that a blind man and a cripple could hold it against the U.S. Marines.
Just to remind people who it was that had nevertheless finally taken it, David's first move was to change its name to the City of David. His second move was a brilliant maneuver for giving his victory the stamp of divine approval by trotting out that holy box of acacia wood overlaid with gold that was known as the Ark and contained who knows what, but was as close as Israel ever officially got to a representation in space of their God who dwelled in eternity. David had the ark loaded onto a custom-built cart and made a regular circus parade of it, complete with horns and harps and cymbals and psalteries, not to mention himself high-stepping out in front like the mayor of Dublin on St. Patrick's Day. When they finally made it into town, he set up a big tent to keep out the weather, had refreshments passed around on the house, and just so nobody would forget who was picking up the tab, did the lion's share of the praying himself and personally took up the collection afterward. So far, it was none of it anything a good public relations department couldn't have dreamed up. But the next thing was something else again. He stripped down to his skivvies, and then with everybody looking on, including his wife, a high-class girl named Michael, who gave his administration tone as the late King Saul's daughter, he did a dance. Maybe it started out as just another Madison Avenue ploy, but not for long. With trumpets blaring and drums beating, it was Camelot all over again. And for once, that royal young redhead didn't have to talk up the bright future and the high hopes, because he was himself the future at its brightest, and there were no hopes higher than the ones his people had in him. And for once, he didn't have to drag God in for politics' sake either, because it was obvious to everybody that this time God was there on his own. How they cut loose together, David and Yahweh, whirling around before the ark in such a passion that they caught fire from each other and blazed up in a single flame of such magnificence that not even the dressing down David got from Michael afterward could dim the glory of it. He had feet of clay, like the rest of us, if not more so. He was self-serving and deceitful, lustful and vain. But on the basis of that dance alone, you can see why it was David more than anybody else that Israel lost its hearts to, and why. When Jesus of Nazareth came riding into Jerusalem on his flea-bitten mule 1,000 years later, it was as the son of David that they hailed him. He has a way with words, Frederick. As for Salome, we can't really know for sure what set her off to dance. Perhaps dancing at royal dinners is what one does when one is the king's daughter and your father has paid for all of those dance lessons. Who knows, maybe she just liked to dance. Maybe her spirit was light and joyful. She may not have been the dark and sinister little girl so often portrayed on screen, but regardless of where her heart was when she began to dance, it did turn dark. And the outcome of her dance was death. There was a horrible price to pay for her dance. John the Baptist loses his head, and the rest of them, in one way or another, picked up the tab. And here's what Fred says about Salome. One of the less offensive acts of Herod Antipas was to walk off with his brother's wife, Herodias. At least, there may have been something like love in it, but it was against the law. And since John the Baptist was a stickler for legalities, he gave Herod a hard time over it. Needless to say, this didn't endear him to Herodias, who urged her husband to make short work of him. Herod said he'd be only too pleased to oblige her, but unfortunately John was a strong man with a strong following, and it might lead to unpleasantness. Then one day he threw himself a birthday party, possibly because he couldn't locate anybody who felt like throwing him one. And one of the guests was Herodias' daughter from her former marriage. Her name was Salome, and she was both Herod's stepdaughter and his niece. As it happened, she was also a whiz at dancing. Sometime during the evening, she ripped off a little number that so tickled Herod that, carried away by the general hilarity of the occasion as he was, he told her he'd give her anything she wanted, up to and including half of his kingdom. Since she already had everything a girl could want and was apparently not eager for all the headaches that taking over half the kingdom would undoubtedly involve, she went out and told her mother, Herodias, to advise her what she ought to ask for. It didn't take Herodias 20 seconds to tell her. "The head of John," she snapped out. So that's what Salome went back and told Herod, adding only that she would prefer to have it served on a platter. No sooner was it brought to her than she got rid of it like a hot potato by handing it over to her mother. It's not hard to see why. Salome disappears from history at that point, and you can only hope that she took the platter with her to remind her that she should be careful where she danced that particular dance in the future, and that she should never ask her mother's advice again about anything. And that even when you cut a saint's head off, that doesn't mean you've heard the last of him by a long shot. David and Salome, dancers in the dance of life, dancing two very different dances. You know, we have a choice, you and me, as to which dance we will dance. The world, in its finite wisdom, calls us to dance for ourselves, for selfish ends, and to feed our own egos. God calls for radical abandonment in divine love and grace. God calls for us to dance to the beat of the gospel, to speak for him, our hands and feet, the vowels of love, the consonances of justice, to form the sentences needed for the reconciliation of the world, to write the paragraphs of peace, to dance gracefully and gratefully, to tell the story of salvation, to sing God's song. Can you hear the music? For you know those who cannot hear the music think the dancer mad. The Lord be with you. Now listen, I know the songs I've picked are a little challenging, but they're also meant to be a little dance-like. So, let yourself go a little bit.
may be seated. And now, as you got a little bit of a taste of VBC with our song, we'll be showing some pictures that our very own Roger Demos took for us this past week at VBS. And so we can get a little bit of a feel for the ministry that took place here. And it really was a mission as well, because we had a lot of children from the community come that don't normally come. So I think it was just a wonderful ministry to provide the community as well. So as John plays for our offering, we'll be showing some pictures here. And I would like now to invite up the ushers to collect our morning offering.
Before Pastor Taylor delivers a pastoral prayer, I just want to bring one highlight to you. I know many of you already know this, but the first thing that's mentioned in our cares and concerns is the death of the Reverend Bernice Warren, who has been such a significant part of the life in Chester, the life of Presbyterians and Presbyterianism and outreach and love and caring and social justice. Bernice actually delivered the charge to the congregation at my installation when you all called me as the pastor of this church. She was a remarkable person, the first African-American woman to be ordained in the Presbytery of Philadelphia. A remarkable person. An absolute. There was nothing, there was no wall that could not be broken down. There was no mountain she couldn't climb. She was truly an amazing person, and I know had just retired. And she and I had lunch after she retired, and she was telling me about some of the things that she was planning on doing, and then was diagnosed with. Anyways, please remember her family and the Presbytery of Philadelphia, as we have lost a very dear, dear soul to us all.
And now I will lead us in a prayer for intercession, the prayers of the people. I invite you to pray with me. Holy God, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end of all things. In your name we gather here this morning. We gather at your feet and cast our cares before you. You are our refuge for the weary. You're our deliverer, redeemer, and in your name we worship. Lord, we lift up to you all who are suffering from illness and injury, those who are going through surgeries, through diagnoses and cancer. We pray that your healing hand would be upon them and their families, and that you would mend their wounds, heal them in body, mind, and spirit to be made strong in you, to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Lord, we also pray for safety and provision for our missionaries and all the missionaries of your church worldwide. Bless their ministry, and let their work for your kingdom yield a harvest of 100-fold. Bless our ministries here in this church, and help us to reach out to our community and world. We thank you for the joys that we have, for new births, for safe travels, and for the beautiful weather of summer. We pray that you'd be with us all as we travel for our vacations and keep us safe. Lord, we also lift up to you our friends whose names are in the bulletin this week. We pray for the family and friends of Reverend Bernice Warren, for Tom and Anne, for Elizabeth, a loved one of the Callahans, for Sharon and Jean, June and Casey, for Debbie and Jean, and the men and women and veterans of our armed forces. Lord, we lift up Charles and Jenny, and Charles and Melissa and John. Be with each and every one of them, and your hand over them. And Lord, now in the moment of silence, we lift up to you those prayers close to our hearts and ask that you would hear them now in this time. Lord, we thank you for hearing these our prayers and for your presence that is always with us. And now we pray together the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen.
Go out into the world and dance. Dance to the tune, to the song, to the melody of the gospel, and share that with the whole world, a world that is in desperate need of an understanding of the love, the grace, and the peace that we have been freely given through Jesus Christ. Go be ambassadors of Jesus Christ at work, at home, at play, in your car, wherever. Can I hear you? Amen.
Amen.
Can you leave this place dancing? Come on, my Presbyterian dancers. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, my friends. The Lord be with you.